It is good to see you. It is good to be together again, isn't it? Amen. It's good to worship the Lord on another beautiful Lord's Day morning, and as Charles has said, this Advent season. If you haven't had a chance to look at your bulletin, I would encourage you at some point to look at it and the names that are there. There's a lot of sick people, people that are currently in the hospital, not necessarily from COVID, although it could be. Some have had surgeries. People are battling cancers and all kinds of things. So I would ask you and encourage you, look down through those names and please remember them in prayer. And I mentioned at the earlier service, on the right hand of your prayer list are our loved ones that are in care centers. That list has gotten a lot shorter lately. We have lost a number of our loved ones that have been in care centers lately. And so I would ask that you pray for those families and the names of those people that are still there. Many of them are on lockdown again, very lonely place, very difficult time of the year to be alone and wondering. And as I think of that, I think of the loss that our communities, our family, you have experienced lately. And I think of our loved ones, some of them home alone, some of them locked in their rooms alone. The first thing that comes to is despair. But then I think of the song we just sang about hope. There is hope. Amen? There is hope. I don't know what you're going through today, but God does. And there is hope in Jesus. There's hope in our sickness, in our weakness, in our infirmities. There's hope in Jesus. This season is a time of hope when we're anticipating the first advent, the coming Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. This is a season of hope, and yet we recognize, I recognize, and many of you do too, it's not a season that hopeful for many. And so I want you to be encouraged. There's hope in Jesus. And we will continue to pray for you and those that have lost loved ones and those that hurt and are struggling in this season of hope, that they will sense all over again the Prince of Peace and the hope that is ours in Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, loving Father, it seems like sometimes whether we look at the past election season, or we look at the pandemic for 8 or 9 months, or we consider the loss of our family and friends and loved ones, it seems like, oh God, there are times there's not much but despair. And yet, as we have sung, Heavenly Father, there is hope. There is hope in your Son. There is hope in you, O God. It seems like when all of life is clouded over and dark and black, there is hope in Jesus. He is the light, as Charles spoke from Isaiah, was prophesied a long time ago. He is our light. He is our life. He is our hope. And I pray, Almighty God, today that even in this season where many are in despair, that they would realize all over again, or maybe in some cases for the first time ever, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope in Emmanuel. This celebration, this first advent, this we call it Christmas, this idea of God coming to earth to rescue us from despair and sin and ugliness. Oh God, there is hope in that, and I pray that people would sense that hope again all over anew and afresh, maybe even from you today. And Father, while we celebrate the Advent season, we also have an ear, an eye, our antenna up, if you will, to the second Advent. Your word speaks a great deal about it, Lord, the second Advent of Jesus. And I pray that not only us sitting in this congregation today, but in churches everywhere, I pray that our friends and neighbors and family in America and the world would be in tune and attentive and alert and hopeful in the second Advent of Jesus. And so as we have gathered here this morning, Father, we know there's people in hospitals. We know there's people in jails. We know there's people in care centers. We know there are people that have lost loved ones, even in the last few days. We know all of that, and you know it better. We pray, Father, that they would sense the hope of Jesus. The hope that is ours in Jesus. Even when cancer or COVID or financial ruin or marital strife or job loss or a dozen other things are challenging us and knocking us down, help us, oh God, to recognize all over again there is hope in Jesus. Guide us this morning, Lord, as we look at some scripture again. May your Spirit lead in this service. May your Spirit lead in sanctuaries and services everywhere to the glory of God. We pray it all in the name of the Son of God, the Emmanuel, the Messiah, our hope. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we consider this season of Advent and we prepare to celebrate the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to continue today and next week for sure yet to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you that have been listening either online or have been here with us know that Charles and I have referred to the importance of being ready for the second Advent, the importance of being alert and being serious and being ready and not being indifferent. This parable this morning speaks to that again. And you might think, well, Jim, why do we got to keep doing the same thing over and over and over? Well, we're not doing exactly the same thing. We just happen to be on the same topic. Different scripture. But I say to that idea, because Jesus talked about it a lot. He talked about his second coming a lot. And as we have seen, whether it was earlier in this chapter, we're in chapter 25 of Matthew today, if you got your Bibles, as we saw earlier in this chapter, there were these 10 virgins that Jesus talked about. Five are foolish, five are wise. The five foolish ones simply didn't get ready. And then Charles challenges us from 1 Thessalonians 5 to be diligent, to be sober, to be ready. And last week we looked again at the feast that is being prepared. And I'm going to talk about it again today. So we see all these places Jesus talks about his second coming over and over and over. You begin to get the idea. It's pretty important to be ready. It's pretty important. So I'm in Matthew 25 today and being in Matthew 25 next week. And I just want to say this. I said this earlier service. It would be good if you have a little while this afternoon or sometime this week to read all of 25, Matthew 25, because it's all connected. It's all reiterating the importance of being ready and not living indifferently to the second coming of the Lord. And so I would encourage you, Matthew 25, sometime this week. We're in the middle part of the chapter today. We're going to be at the end of the chapter next week. Matthew 25, beginning at 14. Here we go. Again, Jesus said, as he said to start this chapter with the parable of the 10 virgins, he said again, for the kingdom of heaven is like. This is a parable. I've told you before, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. They can connect to the earthly story, but it's got a deeper meaning than that. And so he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. I think you could figure this out. The man traveling to a far country, Jesus has been here, the first advent. He's coming back, the second advent, which we're going to see in this scripture. And he has commissioned the church. You know the Great Commission. He has given us the great commandment. He's given us the great commission. And so he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. To each one according to his own ability. I will speak to that in a minute, a couple minutes. And immediately he went on the journey. They could understand that in physical terms, but he's talking about spiritual terms. He's going away, but he's coming back. He was here for the first advent, as Charles referred to the candle, and we see here displayed in the manger scene. He was here on the first advent, but he's coming back. And then the Bible says, he, the man, has gone on his journey. Then he who had received the 5, these are the servants now of the man in the earthly story. He had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. 19, after a long time. You see, I didn't mention this earlier, and Charles has mentioned this before, and so have I. Those people at that time were anticipating he could come back during my lifetime. Paul spoke that way. He could come back during my lifetime. Okay, that's 1900 years ago. He ain't back yet. But he's going to come back. And he tells us to be living as if it were today. And so the Bible says, after a long time, it's been a couple thousand years already, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Simply put, he's coming back to settle accounts. And in this parable, he's saying, I have given people a responsibility. I have given them a talent. I have given them a blessing. I have given them a charge, a commission. Put it to work till I get back. So in verse 20, he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. In other words, this servant had been faithful in depositing the money or investing in land or whatever he did. This servant knew there was an obligation. He knew there was a responsibility. He had taken what he had been given and he multiplied that. In the spiritual sense, we too have been given something by God to be put to use until he comes back. And in response to that servant that had the 5 and it doubled to 5 more to 10, in response he says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also who had received 2 talents had said and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents and beside 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then in 24, he addresses the other servant. Then the Lord, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Let us examine for a moment this servant. According to this 24, he knew enough about the man traveling to the far country. He knew there was an expectation. He knew there was some responsibility, some obligation to the man who traveled to a far country. But instead of taking that responsibility, that obligation, that role, if you will, he decided, I'm going to play it safe. I'm just going to go ahead and take this talent. I'm going to bury it. So at least I will have that when the man returns. I'm going to do nothing. The bottom line is, I'm going to do nothing with what I've been given. You say, Jim, well, that's a little harsh. That's what happened here. I have been given something by God, and I am going to do nothing in the meantime. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. And here's where I glean, he knew there was a responsibility to God for what God had given to him. Because the man says, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and you gather and gather where I have not scattered seed. And so he said, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at my coming. I would have received back my own with interest. At a minimum, you should have put it in the bank, gained a little interest. But he didn't do that either. You see, friends, God, in his goodness and mercy and grace and love and willingness to forgive us, has given us just a little bit of responsibility to be obedient to him, to follow him, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, to live for him in daily living. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven, and I will elaborate on that more next week when we get to the other part of the chapter, because the end of chapter 5 goes right along with this. I'm not talking about working our way to heaven. I'm talking about God has given us a responsibility when we are his to live for him. He has not given you the same responsibility as me. He's not given me the same responsibility as Billy Graham or John Wesley. But he has given us a responsibility, and some, according to what Jesus said in this parable, while he is away, while he still tarries, I have given you this responsibility, and some have done nothing. You've done nothing with it, he said in this story. And if that isn't bad enough, he did nothing with it. Look at what else he said. Take the talent from him. Give it to him who's got 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Even what he has will be taken away. This is the servant in the same category as the others. Even what he has will be taken away. And then verse 30. Those of you that went through Matthew 22 with us saw these exact same words. For the one that tried to get in to the wedding without the garment. Exact same words of Jesus. Cast the unprofitable servant. This servant did nothing with what God had blessed him with. He calls him unprofitable. He did nothing with what I blessed him with. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know this is a kind of a long parable, but it's a great story. And bear in mind again, what did he say to begin with? The kingdom of heaven is like. He's coming back. And he's given us a responsibility. It's not all the same responsibility, but he's given us a responsibility. As I was reading through some commentary this week, different commentary, getting different thoughts, different opinions, seeing what other people thought about this, I love the simplicity of the Liberty Bible Commentary. It says this, and I quote, "The parable of the talents further emphasizes the need for personal preparation and faithful service to the master until he comes," end quote. It's that simple. Personal preparation. I can't prepare for Sherry. Sherry can't prepare for me. My parents can't prepare me. They can instruct me in the ways of Jesus, but I must make this personal. I must prepare for eternity, for the second coming of Jesus. That is personal. And in my preparation, this commentary says it so simply, I must be personally prepared and be faithful in service to the King until he comes. Hallelujah. That's what this parable is about. To wash my hands and say, I'm saved, Jim, I'm good to go, I got no other obligation, is missing this completely. If, brothers and sisters, we or anybody else is indifferent to the return of Jesus, the second advent, we're not in tune, we're not alert, we're not sober-minded, as Charles said, and we're only half ready, like I said the week before. If we are indifferent, we won't be engaged in living for him. We won't be putting our talent to use. If we are indifferent, we're living for self. We've buried the talent, we do nothing for him. The Life Application Study Bible, some of you have those Bibles, it says this. It's also a great quote from this particular parable. And I quote, "The master divided the money among the servants according to their abilities. No one received more, no one received less than he could handle. If he failed in his assignment, his excuse could not be that he was overwhelmed. Failure could come only from laziness or hatred towards the master. The talents represent a kind of resources we are given. God gives us these time, these talents, these gifts, and other resources according to our abilities, and he expects us to invest them wisely until he returns. We are responsible to use well what God has given to us. The issue here is not how much we have, but how well we use what we have been given. End quote. This whole 5, 2, and 1 talent scenario is a great illustration of what? We're not all the same. Is that not a great illustration? We're not all given the same responsibility, but we are given a responsibility. As the story goes, the man, God, expects us with what has been entrusted to us. It may only be one talent, but he expects us to live for him, to use the one talent for him and his glory and his kingdom. His expectation is really this simple: be faithful for what I have given you. The challenge from this scripture is the same as the last one from Matthew 22 with the one that tried to get into the wedding without the garment. The challenge of this story is some will not be ready. Thought they were. They will not be ready. Jesus tells us this over and over and over in Scripture. They will not be ready. They did nothing with what I gave them. They were half prepared. They thought they could short circuit the system of sorts and come in without the garment. They will not be ready. I think that's why he reiterates this so many times. This is important. Just going through life thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person, Jim. This is important. I think that's why Jesus reiterates it so many times, and the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter reiterate it again. It's important to be ready today. It's important to live for him today. Well, I'll put it off when I'm not quite so busy. Well, I'll put it off when I've had some fun. I've actually had people say, well, I got to live a little before I follow Jesus. Hello, what if we don't have tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? We got to be ready as if his return or our end were today. We've got to be living for him today. I think that's why he reiterates it so many times in Scripture. This is important. His expectation is simply for us to be faithful to what he's entrusted to us. Does that mean we're all supposed to quit our jobs now and go become a pastor, a missionary? It might mean that for some of us. It might. You say, Jim, no way. Don't say no way. Jim said no way. And look what Jim's doing. It might mean that. But it might not. He doesn't have the same expectation from all of us. But he has an expectation from all of us to live for him today. For many of you, it'll simply mean going to work, going through your daily life, going through your daily activities, whatever that is, and doing it out of love for the Master, with an ear and an eye, with an ear towards the trumpet and an eye towards the heaven, that he's coming back. He may not call you all to be pastors like he did Charles and I and others, but he calls us to be faithful what he has given to us. In everyday living, and I'll look at this more next week, in everyday living with an eye to the, what would you have me to do today, Lord? Living indifferently to his return is not ready. Burying my talent is not ready. Look at what happened to this one. Burying my talent is not ready. And as we saw in the 10 virgins, half ready is not ready either. You say, well, Jim, I don't know. Was this guy even a believer? Was he a follower? Was he a Jew? What was he? What were they? They all were servants of the man. They all heard the instruction. They all knew that he was going away. They all knew that he was coming back. They all knew there was an expectation. The man assured him that at a minimum you should have put in the bank and got some interest out of the deal. They were all in the category of servant. I don't know. Was he a Jew? Was he a Gentile? Was he a Christian? What? I don't know. All I know is he's in the same category that the other people would, and he did nothing with what God had given to him. And in doing nothing, what God has given to us has serious consequences. So, here's the point for today, and I'm going to quit. What will Jesus find you doing when he comes back? Living for him or living for you? That's what this parable is about. What's he going to find me, Jim? What's he going to find you doing when he comes back? He's coming back. He's coming back. And I don't know, it might be 1,000 years, and it might be 15 minutes. In a week or two, maybe it's even going to be after Christmas. I will talk a little bit about the current events of the world right now and how it's pointing to Scripture right now. I think his return is very near. I told you, I quoted from Amir Sarfati the other day when he said, and he studies this stuff, he's a Jewish man, he loves the Lord, and he studies this stuff, and he said, we are in the last hour of the last days. How is Jesus going to find us living when he comes back? Living for him or living for me? Living for ourselves. That's what this parable is about. Next week I'll give you details about this parable because the whole chapter is connected. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to ask Jane to lead us in this song, and then Charles is going to close us in prayer. But here's the question. What will he find us doing when he comes back? Let's pray. Father, forgive me and us for there have been many times, many days, and perhaps many years where we have lived indifferent to the second coming of Jesus, where we have lived for ourselves, where we, in fact, have buried the talent. Father, forgive us for that. And enlighten us, Father, one more time to your expectation of us. As varied as that is, as different as that is for all of us, there is an expectation There is a responsibility from us to live for you. Enlighten us to that one more time, Father, so we know and so we can be faithful to you until Jesus comes. God, I love your word. The more I read it, the more clear it becomes. Your great love for us, your burden for the lostness of humanity was such that you sent Jesus that first time. We call it Christmas. We call it the first Advent. But he's coming back. In coming the first time, he died for our sins. But we, according to Scripture, have an obligation to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow him, to love him, to serve him, to live for him, not to be indifferent, not to be half ready, not to bury our talent. Help us with that, Father, I pray. Remind us again, oh God, I pray. So when you come, Lord Jesus, you will find us not only ready, but you will find us faithful. Starting with me, that you will find us faithful. For it's in the name of Jesus, the one who died on Calvary's cross for all of humanity. It's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.